so we have planets, can we have life? Well, sure, we can. But can we detect it? Can we discover life beyond our own planet? Let me say, first of all, some people think we have already. And I want to disabuse you of that. For all the work we've done on understanding life on our planet and worrying about how to detect it elsewhere, we so far have no scientific evidence of life anywhere beyond Earth. That does not mean we don't believe there's life, but we don't have any scientific evidence for it. And we're highly motivated to try to figure out how we can detect life beyond the Earth. The starting point has to be looking at life on our own planet. Pete Warden told you the basic themes of astrobiology. Where did we come from? That is, how does life begin? Are we alone? And then the third one that is very important, but less has been done on, and that is, what is the future? Where is life going to be in the future, both on our planet and elsewhere, especially if we start encountering life other places? Well, logically, we start with the Earth. Understand the origin and evolution of life on our planet, because this is where we are. It's very hard to study things on Mars or anywhere beyond Earth compared to doing the research here. And what astrobiologists have found is that life is amazingly versatile and can exist in environments that 25 years ago no one would have thought possible. We have life on Earth that goes at temperatures from 10 degrees below freezing Celsius up to 20 degrees above the boiling point of water. We have life that can exist in the water in nuclear reactors, so the radiation goes thousands of times greater than we can stand. We have life, and you've probably seen it out here from the air, that exists in salt ponds. That's what makes the bright colors in the salt ponds of the bay, just beyond Ames. Variations then of all kinds. And what is the life that can exist on Earth in those environments? It's microbial life. Astrobiologists end up being fascinated, studying the same objects, same kind of life, that if you were in a hospital, you'd want to wipe things down and kill. For us, a microbe is not a bad thing. A virus is not a bad thing. They are examples of life on Earth, and have we increasingly realized that they're in many ways dominating the planet. We talk about the importance of forests, and it's very great, but much of the energy balance of our planet, the oxygen in our atmosphere, the things that are happening are really controlled by the microbes. Did you all know that each of you, I can tell standing here, is carrying more microbes, parasitic microbes, in and on your body than the number of cells in your own body? Now you sniff at each other, you love one, but the fact is that we live in a microbial world. And probably, when we reach the point of finding life beyond Earth, whether it's on Mars or one of the planets that Kepler has found, it is microbial life that we will find. So how can we detect microbes on another world? Let me put this in context. When people say, are we alone, they are often thinking, and I think myself, about other intelligent species. And you all know about the SETI programs, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, which primarily means a search for artificial radio signals, something that an advanced technical civilization on another world is sent out, probably in all directions, not necessarily focused at us, but it's within our capability with the biggest and most sensitive radio telescopes we have today to detect such radiation, such radio waves, such microwaves, out to a certain distance. As the telescopes become more and more sensitive, our reach increases, our ability to detect such broadcasts. But it's still limited just to the little corner of the galaxy, within a few hundred or a few thousand light years of the Earth. We haven't found it so far. The techniques get better, the telescopes get better, and I sincerely hope someday we go find it. It would be the greatest discovery in the history of science to actually know that there is another intelligent species building radio telescopes, sending messages to us. But it's a long shot in a way, because we're only able to look at our little corner of the galaxy. It's sort of like buying a lottery ticket, you know, just for the biggest jackpot, where you know the chances of succeeding are exceedingly small, but boy, if you won, it would transform your life, and you'd be rich the rest of your life, and so forth. Most astrobiologists are not taking that kind of chance. They're working on research that helps us understand life on Earth and helps give us a clue that we can use to search for life elsewhere. And if it's not intelligent life and it's not broadcasting a radio signal to us, what we're really trying to detect is microbes. Not individual microbes, but their collective effect on the planet. Now we start with Mars. Mars is the place we actually are going. Our spacecraft are going there, we're investigating it. We're trying to understand in detail the habitability of Mars, to understand the composition of the surface, the presence of water and water ice, the atmosphere, all the things that would help us know if any life on Earth, for instance, could survive there or if the differences are big. I have to tell you, we have not yet seriously looked for life itself on Mars. It's too hard. We don't have a tripod. I wish we did. I wish someone had a universal light detection device that we could land on Mars, for instance, and would look around and say yes or no. Probably, if and when we find life on Mars, it could be well below the surface. We might have to build it on miles even to get to it. We're not there yet. But still, within our solar system, Mars seems like the most likely place. So we'll pursue that. We send lots of planetary spacecraft. We are fascinated by what we're learning about the other worlds in our solar system. But we're also beginning to think about how we can detect life on the sort of planets that Kepler's found. We aren't there yet either, of course, as Natalie's told you, the only way we are seeing these planets now is just seeing their effect in blocking a tiny bit of light from the star. We're not seeing them correctly. We do not have a telescope that can take an image that shows the star and the planet. We have to use artist's impressions. But someday we'll have this, and what would we look for? We probably would look for oddities in the composition of the atmosphere. Because we know in our own planet, this is all we can start from, the microbes have had transformational effects in our atmosphere. We know, for instance, that about 2 billion years ago, our atmosphere on Earth first started having free oxygen. Oxygen actually is a problematic thing in the atmosphere. Most microbes cannot survive in oxygen. It's a poison. And yet it has made us possible. In fact, all of the animals and plants thrive in an oxygen atmosphere. But for microbes, it's difficult. Yet it was microbes that transformed our atmosphere from no oxygen to the 21% we have today, about 2 billion years ago. So maybe just the presence of oxygen in an atmosphere is a biosignature, is an indication of life. But maybe there are non-living ways to do it too, so we want a stronger evidence. One example is to look for a combination of oxygen and a sort of fragile gas like methane. Because if you mix oxygen and methane together on a dead planet, they annihilate each other. The methane is destroyed, the oxygen oxidizes. But on a living planet like ours, where the microbes are continually producing both oxygen and methane, they can coexist. It's an unstable situation on a dead planet, but it could well be a biosignature for a living planet. So this is the long view for astrobiologists. We're going to probably end up looking at the two ends of the possibility. Intelligent life broadcasting signals to us, or microbial life, which probably there are a lot of other planets. And unfortunately, I don't know any way we could ever find out trees or dinosaurs or fish or anything that we think of as the life around us. It's not detectable remotely from great distance. Microbes can be, and intelligent life can be. Let me just end by changing the subject a little bit and talking about something else that I bet some of you hear about. And that is this really weird hoax out there that says the world will end in 2025. How many of you have heard of that? Well, I get questions all the time. And it's fascinating because the people who ask that are people who get, dare I say it, all their information from the internet. And an awful lot of it from the internet is just plain wrong. None of your tweets, I'm sure, but you know, just look at web pages. There's a great deal of misinformation and disinformation. There are thousands and thousands of websites that will tell you the world is going to end in 2012. And by the way, quite a few of them would like to sell you a 2012 survival kit. and let me say, it ain't so. None of the things that they claim will happen is true. I've never seen before a rumor like this that can be generated absolutely out of nothing. There is no planet neither, I assure you. If there were a planet headed for the Earth and going to be here in 2 years, it would be shining bright and you can see it when you make it out, let alone the 100,000 astronomers that would be discovered. There's no such thing as a pole shift. That's the figment of somebody's imagination. None of these catastrophes that people claim, yes, it will happen, is happening. It was funny, about a month ago, people started saying the pole was shifting. You know, somebody wrote to me and said, the sun isn't rising and setting. It's seen from my house the way it used to be. Somebody said, birds are dying, so they're disoriented because the magnetic field is shifting. Well, of course, scientists measure these things. If there were any change in the magnetic field, it would be instantly observed and reported. If there were any change in the rotation axis, well, for one thing, none of the telescopes in the world would point. It would be even the smallest change would be instantly detected. But there are people who like to believe these crazy things, and some of them might be very afraid. Not a week goes by that somebody doesn't say either they are considering committing suicide before December 2012, or in many cases there are mothers that might say they're planning to kill their kids and themselves before 2012. It's more trivial, but very sad. One person wrote and said, and I can quote exactly, "My only friend is my little dog. When should I put her to sleep so that she won't suffer from this cannabis?" So I'm just telling you that it's not really astrobiology, but it's just one of those peculiar things that we deal with rumors, and I'm sure you all hear it too, and I'm sure you hear it about astrobiology. There are lots of people that think we have already discovered life. I wish we had, but we haven't. But we are in the exciting position where we can participate in research. It's the journey as much as the destination. Very likely that within your lifetime, we will have either found clear evidence of life on Mars, or we'll begin to be able to search seriously with scientific evidence for life on these thousands of planets that are being discovered. Okay, thanks. Questions?
I got a question yesterday, or a comment, and it was from a NASA scientist article last week in DC where he says a solar storm. This is not the 2012, you know, Mayan calendar thing, but there's a solar storm that could wipe out all electronics in 2013.
Well, that would sort of put an end to what we do, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That is hugely exaggerated. As I think many of you know, the sun has an activity cycle of 11 years. And it goes through peaks and it goes through minimum. During the peak, the sun puts out things that are called coronal mass ejections, solar flares, which can affect our ionosphere and produce auroras, for instance, northern lights. And in extreme cases, could damage electronics. Orbital electronics, people have known how to build satellites now to protect them. They're much better shielded than the first satellites that went up. And so it's possible that one or two of our satellites may be knocked out. It's possible even that there may be a few places that would have temporary loss of electric power if they have to reset the electric grid. But nothing else. If you survive the last solar maximum in 2001, or the one before that in 1990, I bet none of you really suffered from this. Then you have nothing to hear from this.
Other questions?
My name is Sanjay Sohn, my tweet under one blank space. I was wondering if the SETI Institute works with what Kepler has found when they're listening towards those Earth candidates more closely than perhaps elsewhere.
Well, the SETI Institute works very closely with a lot of NASA programs, and we're very pleased to support Kepler. We have about 20 people who are working, most of them right here at Ames, on the Kepler mission, and we're very proud to be a part of it. We are mostly doing astrobiology, and it's not so different from the astrobiology that's done at NASA or at universities. The one thing that is different about us is that a few people at the SETI Institute are actively involved in this search, the SETI search, for extraterrestrial signals. I admire them greatly, but I also think they realize that you can go through a whole life of searching and never find something. Or you could find it literally tomorrow and revolutionize our thinking. Either way, it's a really exciting thing to try to be, but most of what the SETI Institute does is just the same kind of astrobiology that's in here at NASA Ames, for instance.
David, I have a question for you. One of the things Kepler does is try to find planets that are like Earth and habitable zone. In your opinion, could life, do you think life could evolve, intelligent life, in hostile environments, you know, and could Titan, for example, have life? What are your thoughts on that?
How can we know? It's interesting, when we search for evidence of life elsewhere, we're implicitly thinking of life sort of like us, Earth-type life. And as we explore the extremes at which microbes can survive on Earth, our concept of what is habitable increases. And so if you ask me what I believe as opposed to what I know, yes, I believe there are many, many inhabited worlds, billions, literally. Or should I say, as my thesis advisor did, billions and billions of inhabited planets. But we don't have any scientific evidence. It's not a question for belief. This isn't religion. This is something that we go out and try to find. So yes, I wouldn't be surprised to see life under conditions that are quite different from those on Earth. Now, Titan is an extreme example. I don't think we've received any signals from intelligent creatures on Titan. But when we begin to think about these billions of planets around other stars, who knows just how varied and exciting and different the universe is from what we have here on Earth. I don't know.